From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans. The text is found in chapter 14 and a portion of chapter 15. In these verses, Paul deals with the believer's relationship to fellow Christians, especially to those who may be less well-established in the faith. This brings us to the issue of Christian liberty. The background is a society of paganism and idol worship from which the Roman believers had been saved. How are those who are strong in their faith to behave toward the weaker believer? What restraints does Christian love impose upon the strong believer? These are questions which Dr. Cairns will seek to answer as he brings the first portion of a message entitled Christian Liberty and Matters of Belief and Behavior. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 13. Pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. The spouse desires to give to Jesus all that she produces. Our heart has all manner of pleasant fruits, both new and old, and they are laid up for our beloved. At this rich autumnal season of fruit, let us survey our stores. We have new fruits. We desire to feel new life, new joy, new gratitude. We wish to make new resolves and carry them out by new labors. Our heart blossoms with new prayers, and our soul is pledging herself to new efforts. But we have some old fruits, too. There is our first love, a choice fruit that, and Jesus delights in it. There is our first faith, that simple faith by which, having nothing, we became possessors of all things. There is our joy when we first knew the Lord. Let us revive it. We have our old remembrances of the promises. How faithful God has been! In sickness, how softly did he make our bed! In deep waters, how placidly did he buoy us up! In the flaming furnace, how graciously did he deliver us! Old fruits indeed! We have many of them, for his mercies have been more than the hairs of our head. Old sins we must regret, but then we have had repentances which he has given us, by which we have wept our way to the cross and learned the merit of his blood. We have fruits this morning, both new and old. But here is the point. They are all laid up for Jesus. Truly, those are the best and most acceptable services in which Jesus is the solitary aim of the soul, and his glory, without any admixture whatever, the end of all our efforts. Let our many fruits be laid up only for our beloved. Let us display them when he is with us, and not hold them up before the gaze of men. Jesus, we will turn the key in our garden door, and none shall enter to rob thee of one good fruit from the soul which thou hast watered with thy bloody sweat. Our all shall be thine, thine only, O Jesus, our beloved.
Except your love, where is home if not for heaven? seems to fall apart when the fears are far too many and the joys are far too few. Who will comfort and defend me? Only you, Lord, only you. Jesus, save your dearest friend. I will trust you.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Now we turn tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Now I'm going to scare you mightily, no doubt, but I'm going to read the entire section that comes together so that if I don't preach the whole section, though that's quite possible, but at least we will have read it as a block. Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest not thou charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. I don't know if you've ever been lost, especially as, say, a pre-teenager, in a forest as night falls and eerie beams of moonlight make their way through the foliage of the trees, casting long shadows and making things take very grotesque shapes. I well remember that happening when we were at a scout camp, a patrol camp, meaning that we were the only ones dumb enough to be in the whole place at that particular time of year. It was coming up to Easter. And we, a couple of us, had gone into town, come back. We knew the way back to the campsite. We didn't need anybody to tell us. We had seen it in daylight. We had never seen it in the dark. And though we didn't like to admit it, I can tell you we saw more strange people, strange things. You talk about aliens, I don't know where they came from, but everything took on a very strange and eerie shape. And when we finally got it to that little campsite, I can tell you, you had 2 12-year-olds who were mighty happy to have made it. And if it hadn't been that we were just ashamed, I think we might have been shouting for our mummy. But we didn't. We finally made it. I was reading what's called an evening quatrain from a long-forgotten English poet who once mused on the strange effect of the gathering shades of night upon our perceptions of reality. And he said, The shadows now so long do grow, that brambles like tall cedars show. Molehills seem like mountains, and the ant appears a monstrous elephant. Thought that was witty and wise. Molehills seem like mountains. I think that all too often, that perverse perception may aptly describe the foolish, divisive, and destructive battles that Christians have waged with each other over things that matter very, very little. And the cause, as that 17th century poet indicated, is that their perception has been warped by their failure to see everything in the clear light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that skewed way of looking at things that Paul is dealing with in this section that we have read in the book of Romans. Remember that he's pursuing the general theme from chapter 12 and onwards of living the Christian life in the light of the gospel. And with that theme, Paul now comes to something extremely important. He must address one of the most egregious failures on the part of the Roman Christians to live according to the gospel. There's a little saying I read. I don't want you to think that I spent my time reading this guy in the original. I couldn't. But I read a little statement of an ancient Athenian Pericles. And addressing his fellow Athenians, he said, "Gentlemen, we sit too long on trifles." I think Paul could well have quoted that to the Christians in Rome. Because there were many people in Rome, and they were dwelling on trifles. They saw molehills as if they were mountains that blocked the way to fellowship with their brethren in Christ. And at the same time, they failed to see the real mountains, those mighty peaks of Christian truth and practice that God's word called his people to ascend. Now, the apostle's argument in the portion that we have been reading is simply that God's people should let the gospel govern their fellowship with their brethren. Now that seems a very simple proposition, and yet that's exactly what Paul is saying. Let the gospel govern your fellowship with the brethren. He went on to make it clear that God's people should not judge each other. Now there are things that Christians must judge. There are things that it would be sin for a Christian not to judge. But Paul is dealing, as I show you, with very specific types of things here. And he's saying, do not judge your brethren. There's a world of difference between judging things and judging people. He's saying you ought not to judge your brethren, nor ought you to despise your brethren on account of differing views and differing practices in matters that have no real importance. You may have noticed that twice in our Bible reading, in the first verse of chapter 14 and in the seventh verse of chapter 15, he tells them to receive. Verse 1, he says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. In verse 7 of chapter 15, receive ye one another. This is one of those amazing texts when you look up the commentators. With one accord almost, they agree that this is speaking about receiving people into the communion and the fellowship of the church. I don't know how they reached that conclusion. Anything more pure, it would be difficult to imagine. It's very clear that these people were already in the church. They were the church members that Paul was writing to. He's not talking about reception into church membership. It is absolutely meaningless in terms of public recognition into church membership to say, receive ye one another. The church receives its members. That's a one-way street, if you want it. I know it leads to two-way traffic in fellowship, but the reception into membership is a one-way matter. He says, receive ye one another. In other words, he's speaking more of personal relationships. He's speaking more of personal fellowship and personal communion among the members of the church. And though there are some commentators that have spoken very harshly against it, I think that it is quite in order to say that the idea of this receiving is receiving with kindness, with open-heartedness. That's what Paul is talking about. And that's precisely what was not happening among various people in the church at Rome. It's clear from this passage that there were differences among some of the Christians in that church, and those differences had led to divisions. And both sides in the division were guilty of looking at molehills as if they were matters of Himalayan significance. This little molehill suddenly became a Mount Everest of something of surpassing importance. And so Paul, wanting to deal with that, began to treat of the general subject of the terms of Christian fellowship in the church, and especially to set forth the Christian's liberty and his limitations in matters of belief and behavior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.